Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 72, stanzas 1 and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye, and seek my face, my heart and lips, their answer speak, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1 and 4 of Psalter 72.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, and of the 5th chapter, the first 15 verses. Luke 5, the first 15 verses, but first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, thou who art in the heavens, we upon this earth, we may read in these moments thy holy word. Thy disciples were astonished at the great draught of fishes that they had taken. Their expectation that was so small, because they had toiled all the night and had taken nothing, but they had toiled in their own strength and had to lose their own strength, their own ability. All had to come from thee. Oh, could it be that we also may be astonished at the draught, that we may take also in our midst for the power that is with thee, thou dost walk between the candlesticks, and the seven stars, they are in thy right hand, which are the ministers unto the churches. O Lord, then it goes forth as a word from thee. It is not a word from man. It is thy holy word. It is all in thy hand. It is all in thy power. And we are undeserving of the least of all thy notice or thy attention. For thou knowest our hearts. Thou knowest our lives. We are carnal. We are sold under sin. And all our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. Thou knowest better than we do. Open it also unto us, that we may loathe ourselves, that we may humble ourselves in dust and in ashes before thy holy countenance, and that we may be given a cry to thee, who dost show thyself in thy holy word, as he that is come forth to deliver thy church from sin. Oh, that thou may give to us the beginnings of that true and living faith, as we have heard of it in this morning hour, that thou may instruct us in the knowledge of thy truth and of thy only begotten Son. Oh, do open unto us our wretchedness, that thou may open unto us also the beauties of the blessed comforts that thou hast given unto thy people. O Lord, that we may be given eyes to see it, that we may be given faith to believe it, that we may be given to say also that he is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. O, remember those that are poor, those that are afflicted, those that have no strength, those that have to place themselves on the outside, those who have to die, all those who have to appear before thee and are not able to do so. Lord, remember those in whom thou hast begun, with the power of thy Spirit to open the wretchedness of self, that they may be given also to see that thou hast made a way wherein they can again be received into favor. Oh, that thou thyself may have dealings with our souls, both young and old, together upon our journey. For we have our backs to thee by nature. We will not have this man to reign over us. But if our eyes may only once go open to see ourselves, and once go open to see who that thou art, for a wretched and a miserable creature, oh, then we shall see a little of thy beauty. Then we shall be humbled before thee. Then we shall begin to glorify and to magnify thy name. Oh, remember thy people that have wandered far away from thee. For thou knowest that we have left thee days without number. And we can easily go away from thee, but we cannot find our way back unto thee. Then we must be drawn by the cords of love. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one of thy own. Those that have special crosses and afflictions that are known unto thee, whose heart do carry burdens over this world. Oh, could it please thee to lift a little the yoke from the jaws, that they may be given a little rest, a little ease upon their journey, that they may be given a little reprieve upon the way, a little strength to go forward again. And that thou thyself may be near and dear unto them. Lord, that thou may look upon our children, our young people, whom Satan does desire to draw into all of the wickedness and sin of this world. And it is all lying within our hearts. Oh, we know not what we are capable of doing. But oh, that thou wouldst keep and watch over them in the days of their youth, that they may be given to see the blessedness of thy service, and to leave all that is of this world, that they may seek and that they may find thee while it is they are in the days of their youth. Remember the parents, the teachers, the office bearers, that do instruct our children and young people. Give us faithfulness, give us diligence, give us the fear of thy name to burn in our hearts, that we may be given to know thy truth, to be able to bring it forth also unto others. Wilt thou look upon all those that have crosses in this life? Thou knowest where that they are. Be with those that are handicapped, those that are in prisons, those that suffer for thy name's sake. Give courage from above. Give a dependence upon thee, a cry to thee, and the experience of the fact that thou livest and that thou reignest over all the land. Look upon us as a congregation, as a denomination. Thou knowest all the truth and how that Satan attempts to undermine it in our days, outwardly, so that we leave the paths of thy word. And also inwardly try to uproot that truth that thou hast preserved among us. Oh, we beseech thee, O Lord, to give the experience of that truth in the hearts of many. And then we shall be able to understand also what our forefathers have written and what thou hast written in thy holy word. And wilt thou give us to cleave unto that truth? Wilt thou give us also the experience and the knowledge thereof as thy servant to bring thy word? O Lord, that we may be led upon that way that leadeth unto life, that we may be given to know in order to explain unto others. Give us the wisdom and the diligence and the faithfulness, the uprightness to lead thy church, to be faithful also upon the way, and that thou thyself may guide us. Remember us in this afternoon hour. Strengthen us for the body to bring thy word. Give us what is necessary in our mind to lay it openly before this flock. And may thy spirit come to dwell among us. For thou hast in thy mouth that sharp two-edged sword. Oh, that thou may use it also in our midst to cut off all that is not of thee and to include all that is of thy spirit. We ask it in the forgiveness of our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163 all the stanzas. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 163, and the last collection today is for the Bethesda Building Fund. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion that was read to you, Luke 5, and thereof the 12th and the 13th verses. Luke 5, verses 12 and 13. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. So far, the words of our text. Jesus cleanses a leper. First, an incurable disease. Second, a believing supplication. And third, a powerful deliverance. Jesus cleanses a leper. First, an incurable disease. Second, a believing supplication. And third, a powerful deliverance. Behold, a man full of leprosy. Pitiful. For leprosy, that was an awful disease. It was a disease whereby a person suffered from very painful sores and which did spread slowly throughout his whole body. Such a person was doomed to a very pitiful, lonely life, cast out from society because of the contagious nature of this disease. He had to rend his clothes. He had to bare his head. He had to cover his upper lip. And he had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that all would know to stay very far away from him. Very often these people would dwell together so that they had company on one another in their wretched and in their miserable existence. But what was the most dreadful aspect of the disease of leprosy? That was its incurable nature. Because very seldom was a man cured from this disease in those days without a miracle. And it is in one thing for us to be in pain, for us to be in misery, for us to be in loneliness, and it is another thing for us to be without hope. That is looking forward only to a miserable death. Leprosy was diagnosed by the priesthood. A man who was thought to have this awful disease was to go to the priest, and the priest had to look, he had to search very carefully and to make a diagnosis. Sometimes that priest was not sure. And when he was not sure, he was not to be hasty. He was to shut him up, and he was to wait. Before that he made that diagnosis, he had to leave it for another 7 days. And then after those 7 days, he was to look and to search again, to see if this was indeed leprosy. Sometimes It turned out that it was not a leprosy at all, that it was actually another disease which did mimic leprosy, that it was actually something which appeared only to be so, but actually it was nothing deeper than the skin. But if it proved to be leprosy indeed, then the priest had to make that awful pronouncement to this poor man, woman, child of this awful disease, so that he may know that he is a dying man. Leprosy, that was actually a special disease in Israel. Why? Because it was a representation of sin. It was not diagnosed by a physician. It was not treatable by a physician. And it was attended with ceremonial purifications. There were times that the Lord has inflicted this disease upon a person for a special sin. We know that when Miriam did seek the honor of the office of Moses herself, that she was inflicted by this disease when she came against the servant of the Lord. We know that Gehazi, when he sought the riches of this world against what God's servant had spoken to him, that he went out a leper as white as snow. We know that Uzziah, when he attempted to approach the altar of incense against what Azariah the priest warned him, that the leprosy that rose up in his forehead. And thus the Lord was using this punishment as a special affliction on the sin of his people. Indeed, sin itself, that proves to be a more dreadful disease even than leprosy itself. Because sin itself that is filling the soul of every man, so that there is no part of a man which is unaffected by this disease. There is no faculty of our soul which does not receive this infection, because the mind itself is corrupted by sin, so that our thoughts are affected, so that our very motives are affected by that disease. The affections, the love of our heart, this is affected by that disease of sin, so that man is cleaving in love to all the idols and all the vanity that is in this world. The will of a man that is completely corrupted, so that he is choosing the evil and he is refusing the good. That is not only once, as if that we are able to reform ourselves, or if as if we were able to learn by our experiences. No, but we can read in God's word, even as a dog that is returning to his vomit, and as a sow that is returning to wallowing in the mire. Congregation, do you ever feel something of the awfulness of that disease of sin? Because we read here that it was a man who was full of leprosy, and he has received his diagnosis by the priest of those days, But did you ever also receive your diagnosis by the priesthood? Did you ever receive your diagnosis under the ministry of the Word of God? Were you ever declared to be unclean by that Word of God itself? Indeed, we must be careful, because King Saul said, I have sinned. But it was no deeper than the skin. And there are many in this world that are declaring themselves to be sinful, but they are not convinced actually by the priesthood. They are not convinced actually by the Word of God. Our fathers, they have said, let it winter over once. Shut it up a little while. Let 7 days go over it, that we may see. Because a man may have fits and spurts in this world of the speaking of his conscience for a little while, but soon everything is able to go on again. But when we are convinced by that word, then time that only proves to such a person that it is getting worse. Indeed, that is not that that is felt every single day the same, because then there are days that they are successfully able to push it aside. Then there are days that they are successfully able to put their minds perhaps on their labors in all of this world. There are days, there are sometimes weeks at a time, wherein a person, he is able to quiet himself. He quiets himself with his resolutions. He quiets himself with his intentions, what he will do better with tomorrow than he has done today. But if it is now deeper than the skin, what will he find? He will find that that disease that is incurable. Do you also find it so? That is a diagnosis that is learned by experience, so that a man has to come to agree with that holy word of God. Isaiah says, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart that is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Do we ever find our disease to be so? That incurable nature of sin is what is leaving a man without hope. What does Paul say of the Corinthians? He says, when they were without Christ, and then they were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers to the covenant of promise. They had no hope, we read, and without God in the world. Are there those that have no hope because of the incurableness of sin? What is worse? What is more awful than to have no hope, than to be without hope? Is there anything that is more awful than this? Actually, there is. What is it? That is to have a false hope. That is to have a hope which in the end is not going to be fulfilled. That is to have a hope of which eventually we are going to be ashamed. before a man is convinced of the incurableness of this disease, he is actually going over this world with a false hope. A hope in his ability. A hope that the Word of God is not true. A hope that he is not actually spiritually dead. A hope that tomorrow things will be better than they were today. And that hope we need to lose. We need to lose that hope between the cradle and the grave. A man must be cut off from this hope. A man, he must be brought into a self-despair. Why? Because otherwise he will never cry. He will never learn to do what we read here was done, and which we find in our second thought, a believing supplication. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This leper saw Jesus. We do not know if he has ever seen the Lord Jesus before. Perhaps he did. Perhaps he has seen him before he has received his diagnosis. But you understand that he now sees him in a completely new light. If he has seen him before, he now sees him as he has never seen him before. Perhaps he has heard of him while he was a leper. Perhaps this has given to him a little bit of hope, a little expectation. But that hope that was so remote, because you understand this man is a leper, so he has no freedom to move about as other people may move about. Then his ability to go to Jesus that is confined, he has not this ability. There is only one hope then for him, and that is that the Lord Jesus would come unto him. But what do we read here? We read, who seeing Jesus? What a precious sight that must have been for that man. When he saw him for the first time in his wretchedness, when he saw him for the first time in his misery, when he saw him for the first time in his hopelessness. What did he see then in Jesus? Because we read of many ways in which the Lord Jesus is described in the Word of God. Then we know that we can read he is the fountain of life. We read Jesus says, I am the door. The Lord Jesus, he says, I am the good shepherd. We know that he is the fountain of life. And so there are so many aspects of that work of Jesus that are revealed in the Holy Word of God. But now when that leper may see Jesus, what may he see in him? Then you understand that he sees Jesus, the physician. Then he sees him over against the need that the Lord has given unto him. And so the Lord is revealing himself unto his church in the midst of this world. He is revealing himself in a way always suitable to the condition of that wretched people, that they may be given to see what he is over against what they lack. Oh, how precious is that sight of Jesus when he is revealed to a soul in his need, when he is revealed in his hopelessness, in his poverty. Then what does he see in him? Then he sees everything in him that he is lacking in himself. Because Jesus, he is the answer to the need of that people. He is food for the hungry. So he says that he that eateth me, he shall have eternal life. He is drink for those who are thirsty. Therefore, he is declared as the fountain of life. He is mercy to the miserable. He is grace to those who are undeserving. And so the Spirit of the Lord, when he is opening the wretchedness of his church, he is opening also the beauties that are contained in the Lord Jesus Christ, which are without limit. They are boundless. They are wide as the ocean. What are the feelings that are invoked in this people? What are the feelings that are invoked in the soul of a man upon the sight of Jesus? What do we read here? We read here, this man, he fell on his face. There is no man that can see Jesus. There is no man to whom that he is revealing himself, that when he sees him, will not be struck with those feelings of humility, who will not be brought into a great loathing of himself because of the knowledge of the corruption of his heart, the pollution of his soul that will bring him so low, so that in the feelings of his soul that he is brought to fall upon his face, then a man feels that he has no standing before the Lord. He has no rights. He is corrupt. He is polluted. Mercy is his only hope. Mercy is his only plea. Who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. When does the beseeching of this man begin? When did that man begin to pray to Jesus, boys and girls? When? Say, that is easy. He began to pray to him when he saw him. That is right. He began to pray to him when he saw him. He saw his beauty. It is revealed to him. It is shown to him who he is. And he begins to pray to him. In this world, there are so many people that say that they seek Jesus. We can read even of this multitude, the beginning of this chapter, that they are pressing him closer and closer to that water, as so that finally he steps into Simon's ship. The multitude, they pressed him, we read. But we know that that multitude was so very fickle. or that multitude, they eventually left him, we read, when they were offended with his words. Or how different did that multitude approach and come unto Jesus than this man came to Jesus in his need. You will understand it. When does that beseeching of Jesus actually begin? That actually begins when the Lord is opening something of who Jesus is. When he reveals Jesus to the soul, then a man truly begins to pray to Jesus. Then a man truly begins to cry to Jesus, because Jesus, he is revealing himself to incurable cases. He is revealing himself to those who are laying in their despondency, and then they begin to cry to him. And why? Well, because they see something. They see something that they have never seen before in their life. They see something which they now see in their hopelessness, in their despair. What do they see? They see what this leper saw. And what did the leper see? What did he say? He said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." What did he see? He saw the power. "Thou canst." And so that soul sees the power of Jesus. That is exactly what he misses. That is exactly what he experiences for himself that he lacks. That power has been cut off. He has experienced his own helplessness, his lack of ability, his lack of strength. He has despaired of all this. But when the Lord, he is now opening the smallest part to give that soul to see Jesus, then he sees what is the solution to his own case. Then there is hope. Then there is hope for the first time, so that he begins to cry out after Jesus, because alone in him he is able to be washed. Alone in him he is able to be cleansed. Alone in him is the banishment between his soul and God able to be taken away. And what is the fruit of that cry? We consider that after we sing 140, 1, 3, and 4. "God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin." 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 140.
Oh,
Our third thought, a powerful deliverance. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Of what is the leper convinced? He is convinced of the power. He is convinced of the ability of Jesus. And when the Spirit of the Lord reveals him, then he reveals him in his strength. Then he shows to him his victory, that he is stronger than all of Satan. He is stronger than every temptation. That where sin abounds, there grace that does much more abound. Thus the strength, the ability, that Saul by one sight of him is convinced thereof. Of what is that leper not convinced? He is not convinced concerning his willingness, concerning his own case. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. But he does not know. If he will, do it for him. Indeed, with his views of his self-corruption, with his views of his self-pollution, then he can well understand why that the Lord would pass him by. He is a leper. He can well understand why the Lord would have absolutely nothing to do with him, because he is so corrupt, he is so polluted. Oh, the soul can understand this, and the soul that even can agree with it, because it has no desire to be saved in a way against the will of the Lord. No, he says, if thou wilt. And it is not as if a soul has no general impressions of the willingness of Christ. Certainly the views of him, when they are given by the Spirit of the Lord, they are attended with apprehensions of the willingness of Christ in a general way. They are attended with views of the reason that God has sent him into the world, the reason that Christ himself also was willing to come into this world. But the application to their own case is what is in question for that people. And that is for them the most important part. Thus they can believe it for every man. But now to believe it for myself is something else. How many of God's church, of his true people, are in this condition? Oh, that disease of sin that has become a burden unto their soul. All the efforts of self-reformation, they have become futile. That wound that is incurable, it cannot be bound up. It cannot be mollified with ointment. In their hopelessness, the Lord has given them to see something of Jesus under the Word, a little view, perhaps even from so far away, little apprehensions, a small word concerning the Lord Jesus, a glimpse of his divinity, a glimpse of his humanity, a glimpse of his sufferings, a glimpse of his cross. They cannot forget that view that they have seen in their hopelessness. They have seen something of the power of Jesus, the power of that shed blood, the power of that suffering. Indeed, in that moment, it has even taken away something of the despondency, the despair that was living in their heart. They have received a little hope. It has become possible for that people again. Was it not possible for them before? Oh, certainly. But it was possible in their own strength. And their own strength they have lost. So that all that possibility has been taken away. But now they are given to see from a small glimpse of who that He is, that it is certainly possible, even for one such as I am, that there is a possibility in another. And now this view and this hope that is setting that people on a new course. And what is that course? That is a course of believing supplication. No, they would never say it. But that does not take away the truth of it. What do they begin to do? They begin to do as this leper did. They begin to pray to Jesus. They begin to come to Jesus. Why? Because He certainly is able to wash. He certainly is able to cleanse. Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. The power that is in Him, the ability that is in Him, He is the only hope. He is the only expectation of their soul. But will He do it for me? That is their question. They do not deserve it. Their life is wrong. Their heart is wrong. Everything is wrong. But what do they say? They say, what other hope do I have? What other way is there? They have seen only one way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so they say, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the soul that begins to draw near unto Him, to go in unto the King with Esther, saying, if I perish, I perish. Oh, how many of God's church are in such a condition, begging and seeking the Lord for that personal application? That can be a long way. It can seem sometimes that will never take place, that they say, O Lord, how long wilt Thou hide Thy face forever? But sometimes they may also feel something of the upholding of the Lord, so that within their soul, and then it is said, fear not, though succor be delayed, still wait for God, and He will hear. And what is then the sure issue? The sure issue of this seeking? Well, it is as Christ Himself says it is. Because He says, he that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And this is now that seeking. This is now that asking, and this is now that knocking that the Lord Jesus is referring to, that is receiving the answer from on high. And what do we read? And He put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy departed from him. No man would touch a leper. No man would touch a leper. But Jesus did not hesitate to touch the leper. He did not need to fear. to be defiled from a leper. And there are those that in their heart will testify of the truth of what we say. That when the Lord, He is revealing Himself, that their soul may so experience the condescension of the Lord. The condescension of the Lord. That is to have dealings with such a soul as they are. What did Mephibosheth say to David? What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Oh, so it is experienced in the heart of a man. And he touched him. And he spoke to him. Because when the Lord is coming, then the Lord, He is bringing everything along. He speaks to him. He says, I will. John Bunyan tried to show this. What is the experience in the heart of a man? I will. That is not our will, but is the will of God. And thus, who was that that received Christian at that gate? His name was Goodwill. Goodwill. That is, when the Lord is coming to reveal Himself to that people, to give the application also of His own work, that they are experiencing something of that goodwill of God. That wonder that is multiplied by the views that they have of themselves, of their leprosy, of their wretchedness, of their guilt, of their pollution. And that leper, he did not know of that goodwill of God toward him personally. Until when? Until the Lord spoke to him. Until he heard it out of his own mouth. Then he may experience it. I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Immediately. Immediately it was gone. Immediately he was whole. Thus the cleansing in the soul of a man that is taking place in one moment by a living faith. Naturally, of course, that leper was made whole. In one moment, all that leprosy is gone. How is that? Spiritually. Spiritually, that leprosy, something of it is remaining until the last day of their life in this world. But, by faith, that soul immediately perceives a complete cleansing. How is that? That is in the sight of the all sufficiency of Christ, that he may see something of how that blood that is so much greater than all of his iniquity, so that he may rejoice in hope of that glory of God. There is in that moment, in the application of him, nothing that is standing between God and his soul. It is true. Paul says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But at the same time, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So even though for a short time yet that warfare must continue, even though for a short time yet they must be bowed down over this world with the remnants of the flesh, yet they may receive that full cleansing in one moment by a living faith out of the mouth of Him. Congregation, that physician is a physician. Where is he, children? Where is he? He is not here. Is he? He is here. Say, he is not here. He is in heaven. That is right. With his body, he is in heaven. But with his majesty and his Godhead and his grace and his spirit, he is at no time absent from us. Great physician. The hospital that is just across the street. If you are sick, then the doctor is nearby. Are you sick? If you are not sick, then you will not need the hospital or a doctor. Right, boys and girls? Oh, that physician, he lives. Do you believe that? He lives. He is today the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We read it out of God's word. Those disciples, they were amazed. They were amazed. Amazed at the great draught of fishes they had taken. That was a natural catch. Oh, he says, I will make you fishers of men. We look to catch souls. But congregation, there is one thing that is standing in the way. And you know what that is. That is the knowledge of our leprosy. That physician still lives. He is not even in the state of his humiliation anymore. But he is sitting at the right hand of power. He is there ready. Ready for those who are in need. When Stephen was being stoned, he says, I see him standing. Standing. Ready for Stephen in his need. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is there no draught of fishes? Why not? Is that because there is lack in the physician? Is that because that there is no blood? Is it because there is no power in him? Or is it because there are no lepers in our days? No lepers in our days. That needs to be diagnosed, doesn't it? Out of the Word of God. How does a man learn that he is a leper? It is out of the Word of God. Do we read the Word of God? How do we read the Word of God? Do we read that Word so that we may receive knowledge for our soul? Do we read that Word of God saying, O Lord, show me my leprosy? What is our hope? What is your hope? today, I will tell you what your hope is. I will tell you what it is. Do you know what your hope is? Our hope is to live to tomorrow. Will you tell me I'm wrong? That is our hope, to live to tomorrow. What kind of hope is that? We see that all over the world. Those hopes are being dashed to pieces. That is a hope that may never be fulfilled. And if we continue to hope to live to tomorrow, one day we are going to find that hope to be without ground. And what then? O congregation, ask the Lord to show you your leprosy. We need it. We need it not once. We need it over and over. God's people need it again and again, that there may come a cry out of those unclean lips. There is not one in the whole Word of God that came to Him in such a way whom He turned away. Not one. He Himself said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, that He may touch them, that He may speak to them, and that He may say to them, I will, be thou clean. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, our leprosy, teach it unto us for the first and by renewal. Is it not this that is standing in our way? For thou sayest, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. O Lord, remember those that have no hands and no feet to come, no hands to take it. Thou must appear to them. Thou must speak to them. Wilt thou show thy ability? Wilt thou show thy power? Wilt thou give supplication, a believing supplication, and give to experience the power of thy deliverance? Bring us safely home. Receive our humble thanks for thy help in this hour. Wilt thou go with us in the labors of our hands in the week to come? Spare from accident, spare from evil and sin. Give us to search thy word of truth, that the one thing needful may be bound upon our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. 112, 2, 3, and 4. Withhold not thou thy grace from me. O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show, thy truth be still my stay. Let them preserve me where I go, and keep me every day. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 112. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.